wise men of the Kabbalah have said that every day that is the last day of the year, for example, today is the last Tuesday of the year. Tomorrow is the last Wednesday of the year. One is able to correct and cleanse all the Tuesdays of the year by being pious and good today. Even more so is the last Shabbos of the year, this coming Shabbos. If the last Shabbos of the year is a real Shabbos, of Onik Shabbos, of Shvirat Shabbos, it takes all of the 51 Shabbatot that preceded it and turns them all into a source of great sanctity. So that you have to be aware of the fact that there's a countdown taking place. This is it. This is the last Tuesday. You're still going to have another Monday of this year, next Monday, Erev Rosh Hashanah, but you have to look at each day as one of great value and great significance. And if we're talking about the last Shabbos of the year, then there is something that emerges in Parashas Nitzavim, which this year is the parasha of the last parasha of the last Shabbos of the year. Atim Nitzavim is in a very real sense an extremely important preparation for Rosh Hashanah in a spiritual manner of the highest order. I think it's the preparation for prayer. And we will see what the fundamental principle that emerges from Atem Nitzavim is. Atem Nitzavim is the final treaty, brit, covenant that is entered into between God and the Jewish people. Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you're all standing today, Lifnei Hashem Elokechem, all of Israel. No difference between social, economic, or other factors. All Jews stand equally before God. The Zohar says, Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem, you are standing, all of you today, Lifnei Hashem Elokechem. What day is that? When do all of Israel stand before God? Zeh Rosh Hashanah. Atem Nitzavim Hayom, today you all stand before God. The Medrash also says it with regard to Eov, Vayihi Hayom, and the day came. Satan stands before the heavenly tribunal. That day on which Eov is tested, that day is Rosh Hashanah. There is the story in the Tanakh of Elisha and the woman of Shunem, the one who had made a little apartment for him whenever he would pass by. He would stay there, and Vayihi Hayom, the day came, and he asked this Isha HaShunamit, he asked her, is there anything that I can do for you? Can I speak to the king or to the commander-in-chief of the army? And we've talked about it in the past. We have different approaches now, but her cryptic answer, here is a woman who's childless. More than anything else, she wants a child. And here is Elisha, the great prophet, who asks her, can I speak to anyone on your behalf? And she responds by saying, B'toch Ami Anochi Yoshavet. I live amongst my people. I live amongst my people. Very, very cryptic. Very cryptic response. What does she mean by it? So in the past, we said the words of the Zohar. The Zohar says, Vayihi Hayom. We know already from Atem Nitzavim Hayom. You are all standing, all of Israel stands before God on Rosh Hashanah. Vayihi Hayom. The day was Rosh Hashanah. And on that day, Elisha the prophet asks this woman who has been so kind to him, is there anything that I can do on your behalf? And she refuses. She says, no, B'toch ami anochi yoshevet. I live amongst my people. Cryptic, to which the Zohar says the following. What she had in mind was, she did not want to be singled out from amongst all Jews on Rosh Hashanah. What Elisha was asking of her is, can I speak to the King of Kings on your behalf? Anything you need for me to ask of the King of God? I mean, a woman in her position would have said, yes, pray for a child for me. She refuses. Because on Rosh Hashanah, she wants to be part of Klal Yisrael. She doesn't want to be singled out. Because the only way that we stand a chance of being blessed with a new year is by virtue of the fact that we pray together with all of Israel. Alone, we don't stand a chance. In concert with all of Israel, if we are Atem, Nitzavim, Hayom, Kulchan, you are all standing, we stand together before God, then she says, she knows that her prayers are going to be answered. Atem, Nitzavim, Hayom, Kulchan. So here this woman says, B'toch ami anochi yoshevet. I live amongst my people and I want to be part of the people, stand together with everybody before God. They say, it once said the story, they say it of Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Hashem Yimkon Damo, the Hashiva of Baranovich, that he went over to the Gabbai in the Yeshiva before Rosh Hashanah and he said, don't give me an aliyah. And of course the Gabbai was taken aback. The Rosh Hashiva is not going to get an aliyah. It says in Shulchan Aruch, you know, you pull out a Mishnah Brura and you tell your Rosh Hashiva as though he doesn't know the Mishnah Brura. Don't you know that the Shulchan Aruch says a person should try to get an aliyah on Rosh Hashanah? So Rebbe Chanan said to him, I don't want to be singled out on Rosh Hashanah. Yamod Elchonon Bunin Ben Naftali. No. B'toch ami Anochi Yoshevet. I want to be a common Jew, and together with all Jews, we want to stand before God and pray. That's one way of looking at it. I mean, there's another way of looking at it, that she didn't want protection. You know what she wanted? She wanted that direct connection to God. I don't need any intermediary. I don't need an intermediary. I can speak directly to Him because I believe with perfect faith that He hears me. And therefore I will stand together just as every other Jew doesn't have protection. It's not in the days that, you know, it's not who you are, but it's who you know. That's not what she wanted. She wanted to be able to turn to God directly. What is the great principle that's going to emerge from the parasha? Now that we know that Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchan is talking not only about the great last covenant that is made between God and the Jewish people, and we'll see the essence and the meaning of this covenant. Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchan, Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem, you are all standing today before God, your God. Rosheichem, Shifteichem, Zikneichem, Shotreichem, Kol Ish Yisrael. The heads of your tribes, your elders, your officers, all the men of Israel. Tapchem, your children, your infants. Nesheichem, your wives, the ger chasher bekerem, machanecho, and the ger that is in your camp. Mechotev etzecha tshov mimecha, from the one who chops wood until the one who fetches water. What are you all standing here for? So that you should all pass through the covenant of God and His curse, that God your God makes with you today. There is a covenant, and the purpose of this covenant is to establish you today unto Him as a nation, for who yiyeh lechol alehim, and He will be your God. There are always two partners to every covenant, and each one accepts upon themselves to be faithful to the other. you will be my people, and I will be your God. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Kasher diber loch, as God has said to you, v'chasher nishbal avotech, as he swore to your fathers that he's going to take you unto him as a people, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Tavram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. V'lo itchem levarachem, and it's not with you alone, anochi korekim et habrit hazot, it's not you alone, v'et ha'olah hazot, and this curse, ki et asher yesh no po, imanu omid hayom. This covenant includes those who are standing here with us today, lifnei Hashem Elokeinu, before God our God, v'et asher enenu po, imanu hayom, and those who are not here. The usual understanding of those who are not here means that all future generations, as of now, all future generations become part of this great covenant. Then I saw a Targum Yonatan ben Uziel. Targum Yonatan ben Uziel adds something to this pasuk that just excited me, and I just, it was wonderful. He says, Et asher yeshno po imanu, vet asher einenu, when those who are not here, kol dorayo, all generations of the family from the beginning. Do you know what the Targum Yonatan is saying? It's not you and all who will come. All who preceded are here. All who preceded, all who came before are here. Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, you understand, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, all those, the Jewish people is one continuum of past, present, and future. It confirms something that I said on a number of occasions. A number of occasions there's a medrash, the medrash that says, you know, I can't help it, it's not going far afield, but I'll get myself back. The powerful medrash says that on the day of the Churban HaBayit, God said to Yirmiyahu, where are my friends? Where are those who can cry with me? Where are those who feel the pain of what's taking place? And he told Yirmiyahu, go run to the Marat HaMachpelah, wake up Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, because they know how to cry with me about the profound tragedy that is taking place. And Yirmiyahu ran. He wakes up Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and tells them, Hayom atem mitbakshim, today you are being called upon to stand before God. And they said to him, Lama, why? Astounding answer, he says. Eini yodaya. Yirmiyahu says, I don't know. What do you mean, I don't know? We know that he does know. We know that God sent him in order to tell Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov that there's going to be a destruction of the Beit HaMikdash today. They should pray. So the Medrash says, he said, Eini yodaya, I don't know, because he was afraid that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are going to say to him, Biyamecha haita libanenu zot, in your days this happened to our children. Yirmiyahu was afraid of the anger and the wrath of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Klai Yisrael, you were the leader. You were the one to whom they were entrusted. This happened to our children in your days. Yirmiyahu was afraid of the judgment of history. The great chiddush of this medrash, I once said to a prime minister of the state of Israel, is that everybody makes a mistake in thinking that the judgment of history comes by our children or our grandchildren. What are they going to say about what we have accomplished or not accomplished? I said, no, the judgment of history is immediate. It's right now. You know who's judging you? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and all the generations of Jews who preceded you. That's who's judging you. The judgment of history goes back there. I believe that's what Targum Yonatan is saying over here. There's a covenant that's being entered into. You know who's present in this covenant? The covenant includes not only all those who are going to be born, but who's present over here. Atem, Nitzavim, Hayom, Kuchem. You know who's here? All the generations that preceded. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov.
incidentally, more than incidentally, the shiur today, this last shiur of the last Tuesday of the year, is dedicated to the memory of Reuven Binyamin ben Shmuel Mordechai, 7 years now, grandson of Lee Dorshav, who was 18 or 17 year old boy, killed in a car accident. So we remember, as Asher Yeshno Po Imanu Omed Hayam, Bet Asher Einenu Po, and the one who is not with us, that includes all those who preceded. The Neshamas Olhavan and Aliyah and Lotosif Klangisto Ledavo, we should not suffer. That's all. See, here we have all of Israel ascending before God to enter into a covenant. And God is going to is going to make this covenant with the Jewish people. In the course of the next few psukim, the Torah is going to say, lest there be one of you whose heart turns away today and thinks that he's going to go about his own business. He's not bound by the covenant. He can do whatever he wants. Perhaps there is among you a man or woman or a family or a tribe whose heart turns away today from being with Hashem, our God, to go and serve the gods of those nations. Perhaps there is among you a root flourishing with gall and wormwood, and it will be that when he hears the words of this curse, he will bless himself in his heart, saying, peace will be with me. I'm going to take care of myself. You know, I'm not really interested in being part of this whole operation. I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to step out of Klal soil and go my own way. The covenant says, oh, no. It's not going to work. It's not going to happen. God's anger will be kindled. You can't step out of Klal soil. Let's turn over for a moment. Number one, we have a psukim in Yecheskel. There are certain elders of Israel who present themselves before the prophet Yecheskel. The pasuk says that he tells them, that which occurs to you, that which you are thinking about, you know what? Let's be like all the nations. Like the families of the lands, l'sharet eitz ve'evan, to serve wood and stone. But you know, it's enough. Jewish suffering is enough. Enough. It's at the time of the Churban, it's after the Churban, around the Churban. And they say, you know, Shvetz Zayin Ayid, we're stepping out. Chai oni ne'um Hashem Elokim, I swear, says God, im lo biyad chazaka uvezroa netuya uvechema shvucha em lo chalechem. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm and wrath that is poured out, I will be king over you. What's being expressed over here is that a further date in history, the covenant of Parashat Nitzavim. We are inextricably intertwined with one another. There's no stepping out of Jewish history. And we're going to see the sense, the way in which this has expressed itself in history. What kind of a covenant is this? The Medrash Tanchuma, it comes after that, V'chein atomotze, kishabibshu Yisrael lifrok ol shvuato b'mei Yecheskel. The Medrash says, when Jews wanted in the days of Yecheskel to remove the yoke of God, maksim shav, what does it say there? Bo anoshim yiziknei Yisrael lidroshat Hashem. There were elders, the elders of Israel who came to seek God. Amrulo ben Kohen hakones ha'eved, the son of a Kohen who purchases a servant, may he eat truma, that which is only permitted to a Kohen. Amal Hamsi Yecheskel said, yes, the son of a Kohen is a Kohen, the servant is his servant, he may eat Truma. The Kohen went ahead and then he sold this servant to a Yisrael. Lo Yatzo Minishuso, hasn't he stepped out of the possession of the Kohen? Amalahem, so Yechezkel said yes. Amrulo, so they said, Af Onu Yatzonu Minishuso. We also have decided we're walking out of Klal Yisrael. Bakashan, we wish you all well. We're stepping out. We're getting off the train. We don't want to be part of it. Amalahem Yecheskel Yisrael. That's when Yecheskel says to his Yisrael the psukim that we just read. V'ha'ola aruchachem, that which occurs to you, that way that you're thinking that you're going to move out of Jewish history, it will never be. That is the covenant of Parshas Asavim. I will be your king forever. I committed that to the Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and I made that commitment in Parshas Asavim. Let's go to the next piece. This item. She quotes it, Nechama Leibowitz quotes it, with the Abarbanel. Don Yitzchak Abarbanel, he describes his own times. Hanevuah hazot atzuma himaod. This prophecy of Yechezkel is mighty. Ra'ui latent lev aleha. It's worthy to pay attention to it. Ki ruba kora otanu. Most of what Yechezkel is talking about happened to us. V'ra'inu bavoneinu, when we saw because of our sins. Begolos hamar v'hanima hazeh shanachnu bo betok bnei Adam. This terribly bitter exile in which we find ourselves amongst the sons of Edom. V'inyona ein safek shalom itkaima begolos bavel. This prophecy of Yechezkel, and for that matter what it says right here in Parashat Nitzavim, if there be an individual or a family who's going to walk out on the covenant, hoyo lo tiyeh, won't be, he says, this was not fulfilled in the time of the Babylonian exile. Elo begolot Romi, asher anachnu bo, the exile of Rome in which we find ourselves. Shev b'nei Yisrael, the children of Israel, mitzores hagzeres v'ashmadas menit charvos ha'oivim, the tzores and the decrees and the shmad and the swords of the enemies. There are Jews that yotzu miklal hadat. They've left the religion, the choshu lios kegoy erosus, and they thought that they're going to be like the nations of the world. Viosu, and they did this because they thought that, listen, if we remove ourselves from the Jewish people, then we're Jews. No anti-Semites or Jew haters. No anti-Semites or Jew haters are going to have any really want anything from us. We're not Jews. We're not Jews. Yisrael, yeah. Well, Achshav Atomeret, you're saying that as far as the Goy is concerned, a Jew, even though he sinned, the Goy sees him as a Jew. That's going to be the point of the Abarbanel. Yes. Amos alone, the pity of it all. I started reading it again in the last few days. The story of 200 years of the history of German Jewry. It's such a painful story. A painful story. There was a conscious effort after Moshe Mendelssohn to become Germans and Jews, and to drop everything, step out of the Jewish people. 200 years it lasted. Who knows how many Jews sacrificed their lives on the altar of this great idea to be Germans of Mosaic persuasion. And it didn't help. It came crumbling and crashing down in such a terrible, terrible way that nobody could have ever imagined that this is what was going to happen. But he documents and describes the awesome contribution. No people, so small percentage they were, I mean the percentage of the Jews were 0.8% of the German population. And the authors, the playwrights, the scientists, the statesmen, the great, brilliant economists, what Jews did for Germany is unparalleled. Besides all of them who went out and died fighting for the fatherland. Step out? There's no stepping out. There's no stepping out. No stepping out. As I went through the Abarbanel, I couldn't help it. It immediately triggered another association. And the association that it triggered was, of course, the great, great essay of Rav Soloveitchik, Kol Dodi Dofek. Now, in that great essay, the first part of it, we had learned some years ago when we learned Shir HaShirim. I want to take you through a number of the great ideas of that awesome essay and some of his conclusions. I read the conclusions, you know, just a few days ago. The Rav could be talking to us right here, Eretz Yisrael, 2008, Tav Shin Samach Ches, that he saw it so clearly 53 years ago. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. The Rav says, there are two covenants that God entered into with the Jewish people. You may ask that, well, if you take a look in Torah, you'll see that there's a third. The third is the one of Aten Nitzavim. At the end of last week's Sefer, it says, Eile Divrei HaBrit, these are the words of the covenant. And it said it right here. The third pasuk was, you're all standing before Hashem Elokechem, La'orcham v'zit, Hashem Elokecha, that you are all going to pass through the Brit of God your God. This is called the Brit, the covenant of Arvot Moab, the plains of Moab. There were two other covenants before. There is what the Rav calls Brit Mitzrayim, the covenant of Egypt. And then there's the covenant of Sinai, Brit Mitzrayim and Brit Sinai. And there's a great difference between these two covenants. To explain the difference between these two covenants, the Rav had introduced earlier at the beginning of this great essay, and that was what we had dealt with when we were learning Shir HaShirim, that in the life of the individual, an individual can live a life of Gohal. Gohal, two words you're going to have to learn. Gohal. Gohal means fate. Fate. Or a life of Ye'ud. Ye'ud means destiny. The difference between Gohal and Ye'ud. Gohal describes the human being in a sense whose existence is forced upon him. He is coerced. He finds himself imposed upon by all sorts of ideas and thoughts and feelings that come from from all over, and he's tossed and turned. He's like an object in a world. He finds himself floundering in a world that he didn't choose to be in, and his existence has been forced and coerced and thrust upon him. And he can't make his way. He can't make his way. What he feels like a person who has been fated. Fated. This will happen and that will happen. And there's nothing that he can do about it. That's the men of Gohal. And of course, in the halachic categories of Brisk, the Rav describes a person like this as a chefzer. He's an object. Everybody's working on him. Everybody is imposing their will on him, and he doesn't have the power, the strength, or the goal, the objective, the sense of purpose to stand up against it all. And then there's a second kind of individual existence, and that existence he calls Ye'ud. Yehud represents a human being who has a plan, has an ideal, he has goals, he has values. Oh, he knows where he's going, and he can stand up against all of the forces in the world because he is convinced that his way is the right way. This represents strength in the halachic categories of risk. The Rav describes this individual as a gavra, a man. He is not being tossed and turned by a whole world out there draining a cup. He is a man who has purpose, an objective and goal, and he knows where he's going. In the second half of the essay, and that's, we're going to take just a number of quotations from the second part of that essay. He says what's true in the life of an individual. An individual can be a man who's a child of fate, or he is a man of destiny. The same thing is true in the life of nations. On the national level, the same thing is true. And on that national level, they become two covenants. The two covenants are Brit Sinai and Brit Mitzrayim. God and the Jewish people entered into a covenant in Mitzrayim. What made the Jewish people, what made them an Am? Why were they an Am in Mitzrayim? What was it that held them together? What made them one? You know what made them one? Their common fate. They had no destiny. They had no Torah. But they're all in the same boat. They are all suffering under the heels of Mitzrayim. They share a common fate. And there's nothing that they can do about it. They're sharing this common fate. And that's the only thing that makes them into a unique people. Let's read a paragraph here. Number four. Kishanu mitamkin b'havayatenu how you started. His Hebrew is great. Unbelievable. When we look deeply into our historical reality as a people, anu magim l'hakarach shuvah b'hashkapat olameinu, we arrive at an extremely important comment or understanding in our hashkafa. The Torah, Mesaperet lanu ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu karat im Yisrael shtei britot. God made with Israel two covenants. One was in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, when he says, V'lokachti etchem li la'om, I'm going to take you unto me as a people, and I will be unto you as a God. The same words that we just read a little while ago right here in Parshat Nitzavim. Except that, you know, here it is, yeah. We read it. Leman hakim otcha hayom lo la'am. You be unto him as a people, who yelachol elokim, and he will be unto you as a God. So, what happened there and here? But that was the first brit, Mitzrayim. Habrit hashniya, the second was Har Sinai. Vayikach sefer habrit. At Sinai it says he took the book of the covenant. Ele divrei habrit. Milvad habrit hashekarat itam b'choreh. For our purposes, what appears now in the parentheses is important. Habrit hashlishit, the third b'sefer devarim. Zehutit, he is identical in what it includes and in its goal in Brit Sinai. That means the Brit that we're learning about here in Nitzavim, Atem Nitzavim Ayom Kulchem, L'Shnei Hashem L'Kechem. You are standing before God. The covenant of Nitzavim is the covenant of Sinai. Repeat it now for the generation that is preparing to enter Eretz Yisrael. Mahi mahutam shel shtei britot ha'ela. What is the essence of these two covenants? Domani, he says, I think that we've already explained that when we dealt with the individual in the first part. And in that first part, we can go now to the second, number five. Brit Goral. The Brit of Mitzrayim, number five. The covenant of Egypt was the covenant of fate. What is a covenant of fate? HaGoral Mitzrayim b'chayei ha'uma kemo b'chayei ha'yachid. Fate indicates in the life of a nation as in the life of the individual kiyum me'ones, an existence that is coerced, korach muzar, a very strange kind of necessity, melakeinet hapratim leklalachad, gathers all the parts together into one unit. Hayachid kafuf umishubad bal karcho limitziyut haloumit hakoralit. It's very important what he's saying now. The individual is coerced to be part of the national unit called Israel. No way to get away from it. No way to get out of it. There is a strange reality out there in the world, and for 3,500 years after Brit Mitzrayim, we can say it's absolutely true. Regardless of what we did or what we didn't do, we were always seen by the world as a unique unit. No way to change it. As the Chabad at one point says, as long as you're walking around with that Jewish nose, they will detect you wherever you be in the world, regardless of whether you're observant or you're not observant. It is a coerced existence. This is what Yechezkel is talking about. Bechein Moshe Fucho, without poured wrath, I will rule upon you. But then the Rav says, and here's a, he says this coerced existence is not all negative. There are tremendous positive aspects to this coerced existence. That's really what I want to, you know, everything I read over here is what I really wanted to tell you. Alright, so what can you do? He says there are four things that emerge from this Brit Mitzrayim, Brit covenant of fate. Number one is, it begins with a clear understanding. That there is a unique destiny, a unique Jewish existence, and that nobody is free from it. It makes no difference. You can be a lord, you can be poverty stricken, you can be one who has reached the very heights of of power. Makes no difference what your status in life is. Esther Hamalka is the queen of 127 states of the realm. Mordechai is standing outside and he's wearing sackcloth. And he tells her, Im hachadesh tachadishi ba'et hazot, if you are going to remain silent now while your people are in grave danger, you should know, Chedak v'hatzol yamod la'yehudim imokam achar. There will be aid and assistance to the Jewish people from elsewhere. Va'at u'beit avich toivedu, you and your father's house will be lost. Don't think that you will be rescued because you are in the house of Malchus. It makes absolutely no difference. Yosef is most probably the one who achieved the peak of power. But boy, they still singled him out as a Jew. It says the Egyptians would not sit and eat bread with Yosef because he was a Hebrew. There's a Jewish fate. And the Jewish fate begins one common experience. Whatever one Jew experiences has to become the experience of every other Jew on the face of this earth. Two, I've already led into what the Gaon is going to say. These common experiences, have to bring us to a point at which there is common suffering. I may be living in comparative safety, but common experiences of the Jewish people require of the Jew to suffer and feel the pain of a fellow Jew wherever he may be, under whatever circumstances. The third, when you feel, when you see that the experience, number one, is that the experience of one Jew is the experience of all Jews. When you see that, then you come to the point of knowing that you must feel the suffering of a fellow Jew. The third is, just feeling his pain, like, so bad. That's not enough. The next step has got to be a common sense of responsibility. A common sense of responsibility. If a Jew is in trouble any place in the world, then it is my problem too, and I carry responsibility, and there's no way whatsoever that I am able to throw that responsibility off me. That is how the Gaon explains the last pasuk. Turn back, the last pasuk. Down at the bottom of the page. Hanisarot la'Hashem Elokeinu. The hidden sins are for Hashem. V'haniglot, and those that are revealed, lanu l'vaneinu, are for us and our children ad olam, forever. What does that mean? You know what this is an expression of? When I put a title for a shiur into the Jerusalem Post, I take the Jerusalem Post seriously. Better said, I take you seriously. The title of this shiur is All of Israel Are Responsible for One Another. I consider that, as a result of Parshas Nitzavim, to be an extremely significant preparation for Rosh Hashanah, because we stand up, as I said earlier, we stand before God on Rosh Hashanah. No Jew can stand up before God on Rosh Hashanah and be oblivious to the suffering of other Jews or suffering of the Jewish people, because of this pasuk, Hanistaros, the hidden sins. That's Lashem Elokeinu. What I don't know about, I'm not responsible for, but Bahaniglos. Those sins or those problems that are revealed become the responsibility of us and our children forever into eternity. Call Yisrael, all of Israel, Arevim, a guarantor, Zeh Bozeh, one for another. It's not Zeh Lo Zeh. The Gemara says Zeh Bozeh. Zeh Bozeh. We are responsible. And that responsibility means... That responsibility means that I have to be aware of what's happening with fellow Jews in the world, or the fellow Jew who lives next door. I have to be aware of it. And once I'm aware, I have to feel. And if I feel, I must accept responsibility. And if I accept responsibility, then I have to act. That's the unit that is called Klal Yisrael. Rav also says to differentiate between the two. We've talked about two covenants. We talked about Brit Mitzrayim, which is the covenant of shared and combined Jewish experience. We talk about Brit Sinai, which is the covenant of shared destiny. Kiyum HaTorah v'HaMitzvahs. We've called one Goral, fate, and the other we called Yiyud, destiny. Rav gives us another two words by which we can begin to see the two covenants. And the second one, remember, is the covenant of Sinai, that is Parshas HaTzavim. And that is, he differentiates between two words that keep appearing in Torah. Machaneh, the camp of the Jewish people, and Edah, community, Adat Yisrael. What's the difference between a Machaneh and an Edah? So he says, a Machaneh is a gathering of people that is completely based on determinants outside of the group. Usually a need for protection or a fear of a common enemy bring all sorts of people together. All sorts of people will come together. Nations who hate each other. America and Russia during the Second World War against the common enemy. They were a camp. What held them together was the fear of the outside enemy, the hatred of the outside enemy. What happens to a machaneh when the fear is gone? There is nothing to be afraid of anymore. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Yeah. But it's all over. What happens then is those who made up the erstwhile unit, the alliance, are going to go after each other. A machaneh is completely controlled from without. There is nothing internal that really unites the different people. A brit goral means we are all facing a common enemy or a common suffering. In Mitzrayim it was the Egyptians. That is called a machaneh. But then there's another word that is used to describe the congregation of Israel, and that is Eidah. And the word Eidah comes from the word aid, testimony. When we testify to great ideas, we all stand together in belief in God, in Torah, and mitzvahs, a destiny for the Jewish people. That takes machaneh. The machaneh in Mitzrayim now becomes the Edah, the Adas Yisrael, for all time. Now, if you want to see in number 6, take a look at number 6. The first little paragraph over there of number 6 is a quote from the Rambam. The Rambam in Halacha makes it so clear. The Chol Yisrael v'hamilzim aleihem ke'achenehem. All Jews and those who join the Jewish people are brothers. Shenema banim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. You are sons to God, your God. By the way, you know what the Rambam did? He extrapolated, if we're all sons of God, then obviously we're brothers. Alright? We are brothers. V'im lo yirachem, this is in Hilchus Tzedakah, in the laws of charity. V'im lo yirachem ha'och al ha'och, if a brother is not going to have rachmanis on a brother, mi yirachem alav? Who's going to have mercy on him? To whom? To the poor of Israel. Lift up their eyes. Who do we turn to? We turn to Goyim who hate us and pursue us. They look only to their brothers. Tzedakah, if we say tshuva, tfila, utzedakah, mavidin et rela agzedah, so I say it's not only because tzedakah you're doing a nice thing for somebody else. By giving tzedakah you're saying he's my brother. And you know what you're doing when you're saying you're a brother? We are all one unit. We are all part of Brit Sinai. We all have one Yehud. And therefore, the result is that Atem Nitzavim Hayom Kulchem, you all stand, L'fnei Hashem Elokeichem, I am able to say that I am a member in good standing in that community, that covenantal community that is called Klal Yisrael. That's what the Shunamit said. V'toch ami anochi yoshevet. I have to take steps to show that I am part of the Jewish people. If you'll see further, I have underlined four words in which the Rav sums up everything that we said in the Shir, that Brit, go round the Brit of common fate, is that we are the same bimora in that which happens, besable in suffering, bimatzpun in our consciousness that we have to feel the suffering of the others, ubepulot ezra, and we have to go to work and do whatever we can to help. Do whatever we can to help. Loyaleinu chasu sholem, a Jew should never lift up a hand against another Jew. That's one of the things for which there is no kapara, slicha, or mechila until one prostrates himself before God. You don't throw 10,000 Jews out of their homes in Eretz Yisrael and think that you're going to be forgiven. And I don't care what your name is. I didn't mean that. I meant... So let me say already. I'll tell you. You know what had to get me aggravated? I was aggravated enough. So what I had to get aggravated was this morning. I think it just wiped me out. Wiped me out. It'll be homework for you. Those of you who get the Jerusalem Post, you have to read. You have to read Carolyn Glick today. I push it. It made me sick. This disinviting Carol, disinviting Sarah Palin was such a terrible blow. She gives us the thrust of Sarah Palin's speech that was supposed to be given, which was that the greatest threat to the United States is Iran. Iran is America's enemy. It's something that has to be heard in America. So a bunch of Jewish democratic liberals, for their stupid, idiotic, childish political interests, disinvited her. You know what it is? It's back to the First World War, the Second World War. The Roosevelt groupies, you'll understand, wouldn't raise a voice against Roosevelt. What an aha! They may not be invited to the White House again. We failed! And the Chof, by the way, earlier in the Shir, the Rav says, I blame nobody, and I remember hearing it from him in another Shir. I heard it from him. It's one of the most powerful things I heard from the Chof. We failed European Jewry, American Jewry failed during the Second World War. And he said, I blame no one. Why didn't I run out into the streets of Boston as Mordechai of old and cry out to the very heavens? And here they're playing backroom Tammany Hall party politics when there's an existential threat to the state of Israel. Shomer Shemayim, you dopes!
Wait.
Number 8. Just you have to remember that the Chov is writing this in 1955. I'm going to go through this quickly because this is what I said at the beginning of the Shir, that the man was able to see so clearly what was taking place at the time. It just shakes me up. Mat zorich liyot yachasa shel tnuat shivat zion hadatit lezionut hachilonit. How are religious Zionists supposed to relate to secular Zionism? Mispar Shmona. Nidali Chiatzionut. It's not so clear over there. I'll read it from my text. Nidmeli, it seems to me, Chiatzionut Hamedinit had built it at it. It seems to me that the political, secular
Zionist movement, non-religious, has failed by making one fundamental terrible mistake. He says it, it is all based al hanachat hashav, on an assumption that's not true. Shehuchnesa b'musag brit Mitzrayim. They enter into the covenant of Mitzrayim, the common experience covenant, brit goral, in Yisud HaMedina, with the establishment of the state. I'll tell you what he says. They decided that what they're going to do is establish a state that's going to be a normal state. What did the Jews who came before Yechezkel, they said, let's nie kechol hagoyim. And how he makes the next sentence, I don't know. I remember hearing it from two of our great leaders, and I trembled. I didn't know what to do. Lo old am levodot yishkon. No longer are we going to be a people who dwells alone. This, I heard it. Yes, I heard it from Rabin, and I heard it from Peres. That was in the Chavis saying 50 years earlier that secular Zionists' terrible mistake was they thought that there's no more Brit Mitzrayim. There's no more common Jewish faith. It's all over. We're going to be a people like all other people. We're not going to be amongst you. We're not going to bother you. We're going to have our little shtiebel over here in Eretz Yisrael, and the world will be happy, and we'll be happy. They didn't understand that there's a Brit Mitzrayim and a Brit Sinai, and that nothing in the world is going to change it. The experiences of the Jewish people will continue to be common to them. The hatred of the nations of the world to us is not going to change. On the contrary, he says, there may be certain areas in which the establishment of the state of Israel and all its great successes may have even increased that hatred of the world. But that's all part of Nitzavim, and that's part of Brit Mitzrayim. They said, second Zionism said that we'll become a nation like all others. The Tosh Kolcho Shel Rayon. This no longer exists, the idea of Am Levoda Gishkon, a people that dwells alone. Not only do they want to remove the Brit Goral, Brit Mitzrayim, but here he speaks a little cautiously, but there are those who say that they want to completely negate the Brit Sinai. We have nothing to do with Torah. We have nothing to do with God. Then he goes on to say that therefore, and he said it in his time, I can't believe it. He says they have made and will continue to make terrible mistakes because there is no sense of self-worth. Always looking over our shoulder, what will the Goyim say? Not what's good for us. Not realizing that we have a Brit Mitzrayim and a Brit Sinai. Was it Liat Collins in the Jerusalem Post a few weeks ago who wrote a beautiful article about a basic sense of Jewish pride? You understand, McCain and Palin and all of the rest of them. Shem Shomayim Shogur Al Pihem. You hear the name of God. You hear the word of God. You hear a pasuk. You hear a pasuk. You hear a Christian in Yir Hashem. So they Shavuot. We've got a lot to pray for. Ten Nitzavim Ayom Kulchem. In other words, what I'm saying, wait a minute, I'm thrusting great responsibility on us. If they have negated Brit Sinai and Brit Mitzrayim, and by the way, they will begin to find out that you can try to step out, it's not going to help. The hatred in the world continues and continues with even greater strength. The only way we can emerge is from it all is by becoming stronger and stronger from day to day in Brit Sinai, to make it known that we are God's people and we are here in this country because we are God's people. And Atem Nitzavim Ayom Kulchem Lefnei Hashem Elokeichem, all of us stand together before God, our God, and there is no way out of it. This is not only our fate, it's not enough to look at it as fate, but this is our destiny, this is our goal, this is our objective. They may laugh at the idea, but indeed, we are moving toward a moment in history where we will be the light unto the nations.